he said, prashadam, right? If someone gets prashadam, prashadam means the favor of the Lord, little mercy. We get mahaprashadam all the time here, right? It's distributed, but somebody gets mahaprashadam, takes a little bit of prashadam, this can begin their path back home, back to Godhead. So we distribute prashadam liberally. Everywhere we go, we give people prashadam. But if we just think it's ordinary food, why would we bother distributing it? But we want everyone to get it. Now, a little too much conversation. Srila Prabhupada used to make sure, are we wired for sound in the back, just in case? Okay. Srila Prabhupada, when people were in the room and someone would leave early, he would make sure that they got prashadam. When he was giving a class or a darshan and someone would leave, he'd make sure that someone would run after them and give them prashadam, because he was so intent that everyone got an opportunity to get Krishna's mercy. So if we understand the power of prashadam and the literature, then we'll be enthusiastic to give them to other people. So this is the first and foremost thing. We must understand how important it is. And if we understand that, then naturally we'll be enthusiastic to give it to others. Here's an analogy. If we have, if people in general have a disease, in other words, there's an epidemic disease going on, right? And then we find out that we have the cure. How enthusiastic will we be to distribute it to other people? Very enthusiastic. So this Maha Mantra is described by Lord Chaitanya, Nha Ashodi Maya Nashi Paro Lagi, that this is the medicine, actually. When someone comes in contact with the vibration of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, this will awaken their spiritual life. The name of God is so powerful. The Srimad Bhagavatam goes into this in detail in the life of Ajamil. He had fallen down from any kind of Brahminical culture and given up all the principles completely. However, he named his son Narayan. And now all day long he was calling out, Narayan this, Narayan come here, Narayan sit down, Narayan come eat. So Narayan, 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 he was saying. And at the time of death, when the Yamadutas were ready to come and tear him out of his body, and someone might think, oh, that's a fairy tale. No, it's not. This is coming from Shastra. When we leave our body, we're completely helpless. We can even be completely helpless before we leave our body. As I was saying, one of my godbrothers just had a stroke. And now, you know, he, at first, he couldn't remember English. He could only remember Spanish. He speaks both. So he would try to speak in English and Spanish would come out. And now he's trying to remember how to sing and he can't sing anymore. He can only say the words, but the tunes won't come. You know, we can be helpless even in this body. We think we're controlling. But at the time of death, we're completely at the will of higher powers. And Shastra is saying that according to our activities in this life, and Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, yang yang vapi smaran bhavam tajat yante kalevaram tam tam evaita kunteya saratad bhava bhavita. Whatever you've cultivated in this life, that will come to bear at the time of death, and that will be taken into consideration. Karmana daivanetrena jantur deho papatyaye. This means higher powers will move us to the next destination. You know, sometimes there's a book going around now called The Secret. And the premise of this book, it's very popular, is that you get what you want. If you want it bad enough, you get what you want. But actually, you get what you deserve. There's a big difference. So we get what we deserve. So the time of death is a very important juncture. And the Srimad Bhagavatam points out the power of the holy name of God. And that is that just because Ajamil said the name of Narayan at the time of death, he was no longer considered to be sinful, even though his whole life practically was sinful, even though he gave up everything and walked away from anything that resembled Vedic or spiritual life. Because he said the name Narayan at the time of death, he was spared all of that and saved from any kind of sinful reaction. That's how powerful the name of God is. So when we go out in public to chant Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hari Ram, Hari Ram, Ram Ram, Hari Hari. Rupa Goswami writes poetry like Yadabhaso Pyudyan Kavalita Bhava Dvanta Vibhavo. That sound vibration, it swallows up all the darkness of ignorance. And anyone who hears it gets an immediate inkling for bhakti. And we see it. You know, people come by and they don't know what it is. They hear the chant and they're not sure what it is. I'm not even sure what it is. You know, we hear it. And you know, you can't distinguish it from any material sounds. It makes people dance. It makes people smile. Some people run away. As Krishna says in the 11th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, some people upon hearing your name, Arjuna says, that they become joyful. Other people flee. But the name of God is there. Apana samsritim gauram yannama vivashogrinan tato sadya vimucheta yad bibheti swayam bayam. Sutta Goswami says, your name is so powerful, the name of God is so powerful, that fear personified is afraid of the name of God. So this is our religion. We're cultivating this name of God in our daily life, hearing it, exposing ourselves to it, and we're going out and distributing it to other people. These books are written kirtan. They're the same sound vibration, but they're in written form. And when people get them, they take them home. They travel from one country to another across borders. When we were in Hong Kong distributing books on the street, we met many people coming from China. And they're very innocent because they're trapped there practically. They get a day pass to come into Hong Kong and shop. And when they see the books, they're really into it. They see the books, they get excited. And so this is something new. And then the book goes back into China. And who knows what it'll do. You know, one book can change a whole nation being passed around. And these books contain the holy names. They contain the same vibration. So this is called the Brihat Madanga. This Madanga that's sitting over there behind us on the seat, this is called a Madanga. And you can hear it for a few blocks in Palo Alto when we're playing. But the books, they're called the Brihat Madanga, the greater kirtan, that can be heard all over the planet just by distributing books. So the great acharyas have recommended that we print books, we distribute books. And Srila Prabhupada was specifically given this instruction by his spiritual master. When he asked him, he said, I'm a householder, all your other disciples are sannyasis, brahmacharis, they can do all this direct service for you, what can I do? And his spiritual master told him that you could preach in English, you try to print books. And he said, if you ever get any money, you print books. Because Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur had the experience building temples. And then the devotees got in the temple, they started fighting over which room, who got which room. Oh, this room's better, I get this room, you get that room. And the preaching went down. So he was very much in favor of printing and distributing books as the centerpiece for the preaching. And so he gave that instruction to Srila Prabhupada, who when he came to America, he brought books with him. And he distributed books. And that's how he started his whole movement. And he actually based the economic success of the whole movement on the sale of books. It's organic growth. That we preach on the basis of the books, people will be happy to receive them. The book is the greatest symbol of knowledge. It still hasn't been replaced. People still go and buy books. And over Amazon.com, they're buying thousands, millions of books. They go to Borders, they buy all thousands of books, millions of books. It's still the greatest symbol of knowledge. People get a book, it means something. What to speak of these books? These books are so perfectly done. They're so pristine. There's no other books like them. If you look at these books, you'll see the Sanskrit, the word for word, and then the English translation. And Prabhupada made sure that they were pristine. He somehow or other, with a group that he got together, people started coming to Prabhupada, translators, editors, painters, publishers. He put together, you know, dozens and dozens of books within 10 years. Almost 80, 90, 100 books were published. And each one of them translated with the Sanskrit, the English, the word for word, and illustrations. This is no ordinary feat. This is what the great acharya can do, who comes, starts temples, prints books, and leaves this great contribution behind. And now we have the opportunity to follow and do some kind of service to Srila Prabhupada by distributing his books. So tonight I'm going to start, now that we're all assembled here, well, not all, more will come, but I want to start our presentation tonight talking a little bit about our approach when we go out into public, because that's what we do here at our ISV. As we gather together here, we hear from the books. Like tonight, we heard a little bit from Shish Upanishad, from Bhagavad Gita, in the Association of Devotees. And then we go out and we give it to somebody else. When you give, then it increases. Lord Chaitanya and Lord Inanda prove this, because when they distributed the transcendental knowledge, when they went out and distributed love for God, Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami says in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, that they broke open the storehouse of love of God and distributed its contents, practically like mad people. And the more they distributed, the more the contents increased. So this is spiritual calculation, and who can say which verse we just read in the Ishapanishad confirms that mathematical calculation, that the more you distribute, the more it increases. Give a shot at it. The invocation. Give him the microphone so he can belt it out.
Because he is completely perfect, all emanations from him, such as this phenomenal world, are perfectly equipped as complete wholes. Whatever is produced of the complete whole is also complete in itself. Because he is the complete whole, even though so many complete units emanate from him, he remains the complete balance.
Could you explain that just a little bit?
Thank you. And I wanted to bring attention to the fact that the Supreme Lord is complete, and even though complete units emanate from him, he remains the complete balance. In other words, in spiritual mathematics, the more we give out, the more it increases. There's no lack or diminution. So the energy that we give to the Sankirtan Yajna for distributing books, for organizing the Sankirtan Yajna, this will actually increase our own standing in spiritual life. We'll gain more taste, we'll actually gain more ability and qualification for entering in deeper and deeper into spiritual life by doing this kind of work. Srila Prabhupada was very much in this mood, and he emphasizes it even in his purports, how this kind of work, working to distribute this spiritual knowledge and preaching to other people, will give us more and more qualification ourselves for understanding Krishna and for entering into Krishna Leela. So I think maybe we should, you want to sit over here? Let's maybe all move up a little bit, like about 7.5 inches forward. And then those devotees who are on that side and can't see the screen, if you would move over to this side so you could see, that would probably be best. Is everyone comfortable? Do you need more air? Do we need one fan on? inconvenience is regretted. So preaching, going out from ISV to distribute books, means becoming ambassadors of goodwill. We're not going out to make money. Like some salespeople, they go out and they're profit motivated. They're thinking, how many sales am I going to close today? Why? Because I need that money. I got to pay the overhead. I want a new car. I want this. I want that. But devotees are not going out for this purpose. They're going out because they're ambassadors of goodwill. They're giving something very valuable to others, and it's coming out of the goodness of their heart. There's no profit motivation. And the greatest representative, the greatest ambassador of goodwill, was Srila Prabhupada, who set out on a mission to give this message of the Srimad Bhagavatam to people all over the world. Srila Prabhupada started in Vrindavan by himself. Some sadhus come to Vrindavan and they sit down with a vow never to leave the holy dham and to simply chant. When Srila Prabhupada came to Vrindavan, he got up and he left and came and went many, many times. He left Vrindavan very frequently. Why? He was going into Delhi, he was going to Bombay, he was going all over the place because he was printing his Back to Godhead magazine. He started writing the magazine because his spiritual master had told him that he should print literatures and distribute them because that would be have a lasting effect. Now, Srila Prabhupada, when he lived in Vrindavan, didn't have any money. He had left home, his business was closed, and he was simply living by the good graces of Krishna, and he had very little money, so he was somehow or other printing his Back to Godhead magazine. One of the printers whom Srila Prabhupada first went to print the Back to Godhead magazine said that he used to show up often having not eaten for a while. Why? He was saving money so that he could get paper. Paper was very hard to get then. There was a war going on. It was being rationed. Can you see? And so Srila Prabhupada would save his money and he would bring it. He never took rickshaws unless he had to bring the reams of paper to the printer. Then as Prabhupada was writing and distributing himself, he used to go out himself and distribute the Back to Godhead magazine. After all, who else would distribute them at that time? He was by himself. He would print and then he'd go distribute. He'd sell the magazines himself. He'd go from business to business. He'd go from shop to shop and he'd meet people. Once in the very hot sun in Delhi, he got heat stroke from going around doing sankirtan, going out and doing book distribution himself. And someone had to take care of him because he had fainted out of the heat, going out and selling these books. It was so important. Sometimes people told Prabhupada, "Oh, I don't have any time for this. Please move along. Go away from my shop." The pure devotee comes and they say, "Go away, I don't have time for you." Prabhupada wrote about this in many of his articles. You can read his old Back to Godhead articles and how he went out personally distributing. He said, "Chronic disease of modern man is no time." That was back then. What to speak of now that we have all these time-saving devices? Now that I have an iPhone and a toaster that I can set to different degrees and things to wake me up and move me along, and now I have less time than I ever had before. So people have it. Don't be surprised if you show someone the spiritual knowledge, say, "I don't have any time." This has been going on since time immemorial. So Prabhupada then met some people who told him, he said, "Why don't you make big books? Because they'll be more permanent." And so then he began writing the Srimad Bhagavatam, sitting there in his room in Radha Damodar. This is his room in Radha Damodar in Vrindavan, where Prabhupada first started. He rented that little room. It's right adjacent to where the deities are in the courtyard there. Very spiritual place where the samadhi of Rupa Goswami is there, Jiva Goswami, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati's Pushpa Samadhi is there. A very sacred place. He sat there for many years writing the Srimad Bhagavatam and bringing it, preparing it to the West. And he called it Srimad Bhagavatam. This is a little flyer that Srila Prabhupada made about the Srimad Bhagavatam. "India's message of peace and goodwill," by Tri Dandi Goswami, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. So all over the world for scientific knowledge of God. So you can see Prabhupada was scheming how to sell these Srimad Bhagavatams, how to make the books available. While he was there in Vrindavan, he also wrote The Easy Journey to Other Planets. This one we have in Spanish mostly now. Thousands and thousands of them in Spanish. No ordinary book. Srila Prabhupada wrote that in Vrindavan. So don't think it's an ordinary thing when someone gets that book. That's a very powerful book that Prabhupada wrote while he was sitting in the holy dhamma of Vrindavan. And now that book is available to us in Spanish. He also got an invitation while he was sitting in the holy dhamma here with no money and just writing books. He got an invitation to come to Japan for a conference that was being held in Japan called The Cultivation of the Human Spirit. The Prabhupada wanted to go to that like anything. He saw it as a huge breakthrough to leave India, to go there, to preach to an international crowd. And what happened? He tried to get funding. He wrote to the Prime Minister of India. He wrote to all kinds of people, and no one gave him the money. But while he was preparing to go there, he wrote a very specific book, special book, that he was going to take there and present at the Cultivation of Human Spirit conference in Japan. Does anybody know what that book is? That's Light of the Bhagavat. That Light of the Bhagavat book Prabhupada wrote, the manuscript was available, and after Prabhupada left the planet, the devotees put it together and published it. So that's a very powerful book also, very beautiful book. So this was Prabhupada's mode, writing, publishing, distributing back to Godhead magazine. And then, of course, we know that he got a free ticket on a cargo ship coming to America. He had one sponsor in America that said, yes, if he comes here, he can stay for a few days. And that was about it. He didn't know anybody else in America, practically. And what cargo did he bring with him on the ship? He brought cases and cases and cases of Bhagavatams, just like this. So when we're loading up our cars with cases of books and taking them out places, you're doing just what Prabhupada did. Just what Prabhupada did. Just what was in Prabhupada's mind. Go on Sankirtan. Go out and see who you can meet. He didn't know who he was going to meet when he came out. Neither do we. But we go out with that spirit that this is the most important thing to do, to bring out this message of goodwill to the people so that they can read the Srimad Bhagavatam. They can hear what the sages of Naimasaranya said while they were coming together for a sacrifice to talk about how to do benefit for the people of the world. That's why they met. That's why Shukadeva Goswami spoke the Srimad Bhagavatam. He spoke it out of compassion for the fallen souls who would want to cross over the darkness in the age of Kali Yuga, but would be unable to without this knowledge of the Srimad Bhagavatam. This is the most important cargo. This is the most precious knowledge on the planet, and we have access to it. It's been given to us by the great acharyas. It's been personally handed to us by Srila Prabhupada and brought to us, and he's given us this service. So we have to imbibe the same qualities. Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, these are the qualities of someone who is an appropriate ambassador of goodwill. So when we go out to preach in public, or while we're with the devotees here at ISV or any other place, these are the qualities we should have, we should cultivate. We should, one who is not envious, but is a kind friend to all living entities, who does not think himself a proprietor and is free from false ego, who is equal in both happiness and distress, who is tolerant, always satisfied, self-controlled, and engaged in devotional service with determination, his mind and intelligence fixed on me. Krishna says, such a devotee of mine is very dear to me. He for whom no one is put into difficulty and is not disturbed by anyone. Not such an easy task when you go to preach, is it? Not to be disturbed by anyone and not to put anyone into difficulty. Who is equipoised in happiness and distress, fear and anxiety. Such a person is very dear to me, Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita. So here's our goal. People will remember and tell others about meeting me. Therefore, I always do my best to leave everyone with a good impression. So this is our prime directive. We'll talk about this as we go forward. But we should remember these qualities. We should remember to remain equipoise in happiness and distress, fear and anxiety, that we should not put others into difficulty or not be disturbed by others. See, this is yoga. Krishna talks about this in the Bhagavad Gita, to remain equal in all kinds of circumstances. So going to preach means that you'll be tested. It means, first of all, you'll be tested by your mind, because the mind will become the greatest enemy or the best friend, Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita. Right? The uncontrolled mind is, it's our worst enemy, lives right in our head. You say, I'm going to go do my morning program. Your mind says, no, no, let's go do some nonsense right now. And then we have the decision. Do I want to do nonsense, or I want to have a personal victory and actually make advancement in spiritual life? So all the time, the mind is the best friend or the worst enemy. And if we want to go out and preach, the mind might say, what? Might say, well, maybe not today. Maybe another time. Maybe it's too difficult. Maybe I'll fail. Maybe so many things. The mind will give us so many excuses. So we have to control the mind, and we have to do our service and go out to distribute Krishna consciousness. And when we do that, we'll understand from our environment how advanced we're becoming in this Bhagavad Gita philosophy, because we'll be tested. You know, we have to engage in unflinching devotional service. Ananya bhakti, Krishna says. If you engage in ananya bhakti, ananyas chintayanto mam yejana pariupasate, tesham nityabdi yukdanam yogakshemvam maham yaham. I'll carry what you lack and I preserve what you have. So unflinching means, if you don't have something to cause you to flinch, you're not going to know if you're unflinching or not. But if you go for sankirtan, you'll find yourself in situations where you may have to flinch. And then you can see, how can I control my mind? Hi, Bhakta George. It was a rainy afternoon. It was down by there was no place on the street. It was in the Haight-Ashbury when I took this picture. And he found a little awning that was outside the Salvation Army, so he set up it there. It was a rainy day, and he stayed there all day and distributed many, many books. And look how blissfully he looks out there doing his service. Whoops. Don't want to give anything away now. I guess I ruined the surprise. Now, this is real bliss going on book distribution, whether it's raining, whether it's hot. If you're out doing your service and giving people a taste for Krishna consciousness, you become happy. Listen. I could tell you I stole this. Don't worry, I'll pay him back. This is one of the most important things that we can do when we go on Sankirtan. We're not going out just to talk to people, but we have to listen to what people are saying to us. This is a good idea in our personal relationships also. Listen more than you speak and find out what people are thinking, what they're feeling, and then you can be a good friend to them. This is our prime directive. Everyone can say this aloud. If you go out with this in mind, that this is our prime directive, that we leave everyone with a good impression, that your consciousness will be molded in such a way that you'll treat people properly. And so we should keep this in mind. Our goal isn't to make money. We have enough money. Krishna's not poor. He can give us whatever we want. The book scores are not so important. What's mainly important is to leave everyone with a good impression as far as possible. So how to do that? One thing is, treat people with respect. Everyone desires to be respected. So we should have that in mind when we go out. And how do we treat everyone with respect? What's the best way, according to the Sri Upanishad, which we just read? Yeah, go ahead. How would we treat everyone with respect? Okay, Hari Guru is going to answer all the questions tonight. Go ahead. Seriously.
Ask them some questions about themselves.
Ask questions, yeah, okay. Yes, but how do we see them? How do we treat everyone with respect, every living entity?
Mr. Kanishan said we should see in a systematic way that everyone is connected to the Supreme Lord.
Yes, we should see in a systematic way that everyone is connected with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. If we see like that, we won't make distinctions. We won't say, this is a good person, this is a bad, oh, that's a Republican, I don't like him. There's a Democrat, I don't like that guy. This guy's from, I don't know, Fiji or this or that. I don't like people from Fiji. You know, we see actually that they're connected to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, so we treat them with respect. So you have to see the soul when you go out to distribute books. See the soul. Offer kind words. There's nothing more valuable than kind words. If you say kind words to anyone, they'll appreciate it. It's universal. Even if you don't know their language, they'll appreciate it, kind words. And be personal with people. This is what everyone's hankering for. There's such an impersonal world nowadays. You know, you go into these big box stores where people are just processing thousands of products every day, and they don't give you the time of day. When I was in New York recently, I went to this donut shop. It's run by devotees, don't worry. And it's all prasadam in there. And I saw the devotee behind the counter selling the donuts. He was so personal with everybody that came in that I saw everyone in the neighborhood, when they're walking by, they're waving in the window, popping their head in to say hello. That's how things used to be in these villages, you know, when everyone knew each other, everyone knew the baker and the grocer and everything, had a personal relationship. Those are being lost nowadays, these personal kinds of relationships. If you're personal with people and you give them kind words and respect, then you'll leave them with a good impression. Make people feel special. Why? Because everyone is special. Everyone's a part and parcel of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. This is a nice picture of this devotee. This was at the New York Rathiatra. Can you see that properly? It's some of the nuance has gone from the expressions here, but just look at this connection of hands here. This gentleman, I found out later, was his first time coming to a Rathiatra. It was there in Washington Park. And this nice devotee from Washington, D.C. there is standing at the book table here. And this kind of personal connection, shaking hands, eye to eye, this devotee finding out, you know, who this person is, talking to him, this is this person's connection to devotional service. It's a very personal thing. You know, when someone meets a devotee for the first time, like a couple weeks ago, Maxine came here. She had met Neelam. And she was this woman, Maxine, she was sitting here at 6 o'clock when we came in for the Bhagavad Gita class. She said, oh, is your first time here? Yes. She said, where'd you hear about this? She said, I met the nicest girl the other day. And, you know, she showed me this book, and I just had to come. I said, who was it? Well, it was Neelam. She met a devotee. It was very personal with her. It was friendly, who was sweet, who was kind. And so this kind of connection is what we're going out to make with people when we go out to meet people. It has a lasting effect, this kind of meeting, devotees meeting other people, will have a lasting effect. It's very powerful. And then there, we give them books, we give them prasadam, we give them kind words, we give them an opportunity to chant the Maha Mantra. And all these things add up to a momentous occasion, the most important occasion that can happen for the soul wandering in this universe. Brahmanda Brahmate Kon Bhagyavan Jeev Guru Krishna Prasadi Pai Bhakti Lata Beej. It means that we're wandering throughout the universes, through the Brahmanda. And when we become very, very, very fortunate, like when you win the lottery for $100 million, billion, all of a sudden. That's what it's like. That's what this is. Meeting a devotee for the first time, getting an opportunity to hear the Hare Krishna, for the jiva soul wandering in useless occupations from one life to the next. This is winning the lottery in the biggest sense of the term. Bhagyavan means that he just got good luck. Absolutely good luck. So we're creating that because, not because we're anything special, but because we're representing the acharyas. We're taking the literatures they've given him. We're developing our faith in these literatures because we're reading them and experiencing them for ourselves. When we read the Sri Brahma Samhita at 7:30 a.m. on Saturday mornings and we hear that vibration, we don't have to have anybody tell us after some time that this is transcendental because we experience it for ourselves. We know, just like when a hungry person eats and he or she feels nourishment, satisfaction, and the hunger goes away, when we read Brahma Samhita, we feel the effect. We go away and we feel transcendentally transformed and whole. So when we go out and we give this to other people, we're convinced, we know, and that's what we're passing on. It's an electricity that goes from this hand of the devotee and into the heart of this very fortunate soul who just met this representative who is an ambassador of goodwill. Express sincere gratitude to people you meet, live with, or associate with. This is something we should take as a practice, that express gratitude for everything in your life. There's a way in which we, when you're depressed, you can think, oh, this $2 million house, oh, this $50,000 car, all this things I have, oh, they're not very nice. I wish I had more. I wish I had this. I wish I had that. It's all junk. You know, we become depressed and we forget, actually, everything we have is valuable because it can be used in the service of the Lord. Everything we have is a gift. So if we learn to live in gratitude and express that when we meet people, when we go out to distribute books, this is a very powerful way of communicating with people. Remember, preaching means giving. We're going out to give something to people. Oops. We should be humble and don't condescend. You know, there's a way when we say we're going to preach. Well, maybe that means that we have the answer and nobody else does. So we should go out and conquer them, make the second conquest and inquisition, and go out and dominate people. That's what some people do when they go to preach. Like when we went to Palo Alto the last Hari Nam, this gentleman came up to me. He said, I'm so glad you guys are here chanting. He said, last week, there were these guys here preaching from the Bible, and they were standing on a soapbox, and they were yelling at everybody, telling everyone they were going to hell, and condescending. Yeah, they come out there to our same spot sometimes, and they just yell at everybody, and they condescend like anything. So when we go out, we should be humble. Follow the method of preaching of Lord Chaitanya. He was humble, and he went and presented the philosophy in a humble way. Express empathy because people are suffering. We should feel empathy for everyone suffering in this material world, so we should feel some empathy for them. And according to Krishna, this is the perfect yogi. The perfect yogi is who, by comparison to his own self, sees the true equality of all beings in both their happiness and their distress. This is from the sixth chapter of the Bhagavad Gita. So if we go out in this consciousness of feeling empathy for people and their suffering, this is the best kind of consciousness. Prabhupada said, this is our movement. We want to see that everyone is happy. That is the Vedic vision. Sarve sukhino bhavantu. Now, I took this picture, Dave G. Jagajivan, and this fellow was homeless. And he also may have been a little intellectually compromised. I think he was retarded. And we gave him a book, this Reservoir of Pleasure, and he was so attached to it, and he wanted it. And we told him about if he gave a donation, he would get great spiritual benefit. Now, all the possessions he has were in this backpack. And so, in order to find something to donate, which he was determined to do, he dumped everything out, and it took him almost 20 minutes to find like a nickel or something like that. It was like a nickel at the very bottom somewhere. His friends were going, "Come on, Larry, we gotta go. You know, we're gonna miss the dinner. You know, because they lived at a homeless shelter, and they were gonna miss the dinner and stuff like that." But he was so excited that he got to give something in return for spiritual knowledge. And now this is right after he gave a nickel, and he's got his book, his Krishna. Now, can you look at his expression here? That about says everything. He's so happy. So, going on Sankirtan, going out, giving people an opportunity to engage. Prabhupada taught us when we first started to distribute books. He said, even if they give one penny, their whole spiritual life, everything has begun. So he told us a story once that there was a brahmachari going door to door begging for the ashram. And at one householder's house, the husband and wife were having a big fight inside. And he knocked on the door. And so when the wife answered, and the husband called from the back room and said, "Who's at our door?" She said, "Oh, it's some brahmachari begging." And he said, "Yeah, give him some ashes." Out of spite, right? So she said, "Yeah, we'll give you some ashes." So she went to the little fireplace and grabbed a little cup of ashes and brought it out and said, "Here's your donation. Now get out of here." And so the brahmachari, being very intelligent, took them home, gave them to the pujari, and said, "Use this to polish all the brass, because you can use ashes to polish the brass." And then as the brass was being polished, the hearts of those householders were being purified because their donation was being utilized by the temple. So over and over again. Now, he came back there about 3 months later, and they fell at his feet. They were purified by their donation. They apologized. "Oh, we offended you last time you came here. And now we want to make up for it." And they wanted to come and serve and do service. So when we go out and we meet people one-on-one and we give them this opportunity to engage in some kind of service, this is their beginning in devotional service. And it doesn't matter how small it is. It was already proved by Srivas Pandit. Neha bikramada shosti pratyavayana vidyate su alpam apyadharmasya. Krishna himself uses these words. He says, not just alpam. Alpam means tiny. But he says, su alpam, even it's the tiniest of beginnings, that will save them from the fear of falling back down again into the whirlpool of life and giving up the greatest opportunity, the human form of life, to make advancement. So this is our movement. This is human life. It means paropakar. Remember that word, paropakar. Everyone say, paropakar. It means that's Chaitanya's mission. That's our mission. This is our mission. It's to do something auspicious for others. That's the purpose of human life, to do something auspicious for others, and that's our mission. Here's a picture. Can you see this one? It's hard to see, isn't it? Maybe let's try turning those two lights out. Maybe that would help. Is that possible? See if it helps. You got to catch the expression here a little bit. Now see, this guy, this is a Kurnath. This is the wise guy who came along. And here, close that one. Yeah, that'll do it. Perfect. There we go. So this is the wise guy. And here's the Kurnath. Now look at how Kurnath's laughing, right? Let me tell you why he's laughing. This guy came along to the table and we had cookies out. He thought we were selling them. So he grabbed some cookies and started eating them really fast with no intention of giving any money, which he revealed to us after he'd eaten about two cookies. And Akurnoff thought that was so funny that the guy thought he was getting over on us when actually Krishna was getting over on him because he's eating Krishna prasadam. So Sankirtan is so auspicious that even if people think that they're doing something, like sometimes when we worked in O'Hare Airport back in the 70s, we used to go out, and we were a lot younger back then, like 30 years younger. So people took advantage of us all the time. And like we'd show somebody a book, and they'd say, "Thank you very much," and they'd just grab it and run off just to try to like irritate us, right? So it happened so much. It became a sport, actually, in America to steal books from, you know, Hare Krishnas. So after some time, we wrote a letter to Prabhupada saying, "Prabhupada, these people are stealing books sometimes. What should we do?" And Prabhupada wrote back, he said, "Lucky thief." Lucky thief. So it's so auspicious when we go out to give things to other people that even if they think they're stealing it, they get great benefit. They still get the same auspicious benefit. So Prabhupada, this is Prabhupada meeting the Prime Minister of India, distributing his Srimad Bhagavatam. He did this personally. He went all over and distributed his magazines, his books. And while he was pressing his movement in the 10 years that he started, 1965, and then the 12 years all the way up to 77, he pressed us to print books. He had the Chaitanya Charitamrita printed within, the whole thing done within 2 months. He had a big marathon so the Chaitanya Charitamrita would be available. Over and over again, he was asking us to distribute books. And when devotees responded and they began forming parties by which they could go out to distribute books, and they came back with some large numbers, what did Prabhupada say? After they got some large numbers together and they brought back, Prabhupada, we did this many books. What did he say every year? Huh? He said, double it. He said, next year, double it. That's how he was pushing it. That's how keen he was for book distribution to go on. So in the Srimad Bhagavatam, it talks about the preaching method. And a preacher is called an intermediate devotee or a madhyamadi adhikari. And here's the way the madhyama or the preacher thinks. He thinks, he offers his love to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So that's what we do all day, 24 hours a day. We concentrate our love on the Supreme Personality of Godhead by chanting, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram. And serving the Lord in whatever way we can. And then the devotee becomes a sincere friend to all the devotees of the Lord. Wherever there's a devotee of the Lord, we try to make a sincere friendship. Then the devotee shows mercy to ignorant people who are innocent. There are many ignorant people out there, but we want to find the innocent ones. And we call this finding the ripe fruits. When we go out on book distribution, we look for the ripe fruits. And the way I do it when I go out on book distribution is I use sonar. And I'll show you how to use it. It's just like a bat flies. When a bat flies, he doesn't have any vision because he's blind as a bat. He can't see anything. So when I go out to distribute, I try to find the people who are receptive, and I use sound vibration, sonar. So if I was to be walking down the street and I say to Bhakta Jonathan, he's walking down, he's an unknown entity at this point, and I say, oh, hi, how are you? Let's see what he says. Hi, how are you? Now, at this point, there's no response, right? Maybe a little. And so that gives me an indication. And this happens often. You could say, hi, how are you? And somebody might not say anything. They might not even look at you, right? Because they know as soon as they look at you, they're going to have to make some kind of a contract with you, or that they're obligated in some way. And now somebody might even say, go away. Like if I said, oh, hi, how are you today? Say, go away. Go away. Now I got a little feedback. Now if I say, hi, how are you? And you say, oh, fine, how are you? Hi, how are you? Good. He's good and he's smiling. So I've put some vibration out, and then when it bounces back because it touches the entity, and the entity shows what he or she feels, what's in their heart, reveals. And that way I can tell ripe fruit or unripe fruit. And someone, I say, oh, are you from Santa Cruz? And someone goes like this, blocks their vision. They do this in Japan a lot. You're walking along and say, Sima-sen, excuse me. And they go like this. Or on a rainy day, they're carrying an umbrella, and you go, excuse me, and they put their umbrella down so you can't see them. No eye contact. They don't want to connect, you know. But other people, you say, oh, hi, how are you? Like Gaurang Kishore, he came out to the Walmart a week or two ago, and he was thinking, what am I going to do at a Walmart, you know? These are not my people. My people are PhDs from Stanford. So he gets out to the Walmart, and he's in his dhoti, and the first thing that happens is someone says, Hare Krishna. Look, it's a Hare Krishna. And he responded, and they met. He gave them a book, and the person was moved by the fact that he gave them a book, that he was there. So this sound vibration, you look and see your environment. You interact with people, and you can see who they are, what they are. Notice them. Look in their eyes. Be personal. Find out what they're saying in return for what you said to them, and then make a connection. So if you find a ripe fruit, you can easily pick it. It comes off in your hand, and you can take it home. If the fruit is green and still on the vine and it's stuck to the tree, then you grab on, and you pull it as hard as you can, and you drag it until the branch breaks, right? Right?
No.
Right?
No.
Right?
No.
No, come on. Right?
No.
Right?
No.
Right?
No.
No. You leave it on the branch. Let it ripen the sun. It gets ripe in the sun automatically. And so that's why we're this person disregards those who are envious of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So if you find someone as an unripe fruit, it's not your responsibility to pull them off the vine. You leave them there. Let them stay there. And what's our prime directive? Can everyone say that? What's our prime directive? So one of our duties when we're going out in book distribution is to just leave people alone if they're not in the mood. If they're not into it, or if they're envious, let them go. Let them stay on the vine and let them ripen in the sun. So our duty is to engage everyone appropriately and as completely as possible. And here's an example. This is at a Rathiatra. This is a second story window. And this is Dharmadhar Brahmachari, who now lives in Vrindavan. This is in Vancouver, Rathiatra. He had climbed up on this air conditioner and he had sold a book through a second story window to this gentleman. He's actually holding the money here, and the man's already got the book through the window. He engaged them appropriately and as completely as he possibly could at that point. So we do the best we can with each person to see how much we can engage them. In fact, Devamrita Swami, who was just here, he told me the first time he met devotees was at the Port Authority in New York. It's a huge bus station, rough and tumble. We used to work there, and several times people pulled knives on us, and we had to have a rumble right there in the bus station. A very heavy place. There was a devotee there named Divi Shakti, and she was distributing books, and she met Devamrita Swami, and he was very favorable, and she took him all the way back to his apartment so that he could go upstairs. This was miles and miles away, and write a check and come back down. And it happened the second time too. So she went way out of her way, and then she brought him to the temple and asked him, you know, would you like to surrender your whole life, which he did want to do. So in some cases, appropriately and completely as possible might mean to bring somebody like Bhakta Jonathan back to the temple, and then they surrender their whole life. So as appropriate for the time and place, and as completely as possible, we engage people. That's our duty as ambassadors of goodwill when we go out into public. Find out how to make a connection. Find out what's appropriate to engage them at the time. We might take out prasadam as an example. Say if you're going to your bank teller. Can you get your bank teller? Does anybody here have a bank teller? Do you go to visit a bank teller, or do you only deal with ATM? You know your bank teller? Okay, so will your bank teller surrender and come to the temple tomorrow? Maybe? Maybe, but probably not, right? So what might be a better way to engage? Is it a man or a woman? It's a girl. So what's a better way to engage her right now, appropriately? Give her a little gift, like maybe some prasadam. So you go to your bank teller. First day, you bring her a big cookie along with your deposit. She said, wow, thank you very much. Next week, you come back with the deposit, give her a cookie. She goes, you're the one with the cookie. That was such a good cookie. You brought me another cookie. You come back the third week, give her another cookie. Now what does she say? Who are you? What do you do? What do you have? What do you read? You know, where do you live? So prasadam is very powerful. Maybe appropriate, right? You know, appropriately, you find out the circumstances and you distribute the mercy as much as you can in those circumstances, and they'll come along. Krishna will help them along. So you have to be expert as an ambassador of goodwill to engage everybody appropriately and as completely as possible. Engage everybody how? And? Engage everyone how? Correct. Look at, even in jail, they're reading Prabhupada's books. This prison ministry, they're pumping out books. And we get all kinds of letters from people in the jail. They're reading the books. They're becoming reformed. They're chanting Hare Krishna. All over the planet, these books go in different places. They go in hospitals. They're now Milan Doshi and Dilip Patel are taking them, putting in motel rooms all over California. They're running wild out there. They're putting 300-400 in at a time. They can't be stopped. I talked to Dilip Patel on Sunday, and he's got some kind of fire burning in him now. He wants to get thousands of motel owners all over America together and get them all to take cases and cases and cases of Bhagavad Gita and put them in their motels. So they're going everywhere so people can get this knowledge. Preaching means giving. What are some of the things we have to give? Prasadam. It's our secret weapon. Prabhupada gave it out like anything when devotees first came. He used to leave a jar of globjamins by the front door. And when the devotees were leaving, he'd make sure they got globjamins. And he distributed personally. He cooked for the devotees and personally gave them sabji, chapatis, rice, dal, everything, and fed them. So prasadam is our greatest weapon. So we should think in ways to get prasadam, distribute prasadam. Kind words are very powerful. If you think in ways to talk to people in a sweet way, they'll very much appreciate you, become your friend. The books. This is our main piece, our centerpiece of our ISKCON society is these beautiful books that Prabhupada brought us that we're studying from and getting our life and soul. If we didn't have the books, nothing would matter. We wouldn't have this movement at all without the books. So these are the most important things. And specifically, we've been given a service by His Divine Grace to distribute these books. The Maha Mantra. Take a little time to teach people the Maha Mantra, and the more you teach it to others, the more you'll get a taste for it yourselves. Invitations. Invite people to your house. Invite people to the temple. Invite people to programs. Once you invite them and they come, then you develop a lifetime friendship with people. And this is our system, to give out all these things. So we're in the service business, and our motto here at ISV is always better service. It's called the ABS principle. And so we have to ask after every engagement, when you go on book distribution, think about what worked well and where there was room for improvement. List them and make improvements the next time. It's our sadhana, our personal practice, to become better all the time. And we can form good new habits. It's simply by practice. Prabhupada said, if you practice something, you can get good at it. So we can follow this directive in book distribution to work in devotion, be a pure soul, control the mind and senses, and in that way we'll be dear to everyone and everyone will be dear to us. And if we work in that way, we'll never become entangled. That's a picture of Satyat Prabhu, who is out on that same rainy day with George, distributing in the Haight-Ashbury. Sri Sri Gorni Tai Ki Jai Goprimanande Hari Hari Bo. Okay, we'll turn on the lights for a few minutes. Any questions so far? Thank you. Thank you very much. Everyone comfortable? Everyone happy?
Yes. Okay.
You feel inspired to go on book distribution?
Yes.
Become an ambassador of goodwill? Is anyone here who's, for their first time, who's getting ready to go on book distribution who's not been out before? Everyone who's been out on book distribution before, raise your hand. Okay, so a few devotees, first time here, right? Okay. So I have a couple of more presentations that I want to show. And one of them is about how to present a book, sort of a technique to present the Bhagavad Gita as it is so that people will take it. And
any comments? Yes, please.
pass the microphone? Can you pass the microphone here that
yes.
But sometimes I meet people and they present their own philosophies. Most of the time, it's my own philosophy. And I'm in a confused state of mind at that point, so that I should counterattack their philosophy and try to present Krishna consciousness.
Yes.
Or just let them go and maybe look for a better person to talk to.
Well, the answer is yes, and how did it work?
When I get into an argumentative mood, sometimes I feel like it was a waste of time.
Yes.
And,
sometimes?
And sometimes I feel that it was good that I talked to him. Maybe he was so I always have a hard time deciding. Is there any guideline?
Yeah, there is some guideline. And that is that Prabhupada helped us out a little bit with that, because he once wrote to us, he said, what good will your 5 minutes preaching do? He said, but if they buy a book, then they'll be eternally benefited, they'll go home and read it, and other people will read it too. So he, at one point, gave us this idea that it was better to not get too much embroiled in these kind of arguments. And there's a balancing point. Because on one side, sometimes we don't know if somebody's going to be favorable or not until we get way far into it. And we don't know how far to push either. You know, so like I'm sort of simplifying things by saying ripe fruit, unripe fruit, right? But sometimes you start talking to somebody and then all of a sudden they'll turn around and they'll change their position right when you're talking to them. And it's a balancing act, so this is an art. And when we go out to distribute, you have to sort of be in a balanced state of mind and balance things. If you're going to talk to somebody or preach to somebody, then you might want to keep in mind that you also are missing other people at the same time, and maybe you could talk to them later. Sometimes it's important, it does become important to talk philosophy with people, because it helps you to talk about the philosophy and sort of explore these things. And sometimes it even helps them a little bit. But generally speaking, if you get into prolonged kinds of philosophical arguments, I found, at least for myself, it tends to drain my energy and my attention. And you know, getting a 25-minute, 30-minute conversation with somebody, especially if they're inflexible, and then I'll end up, you know, walking away feeling like, you know, I wasted a huge chunk of time. So, I mean, the answer is you really have to balance it for yourself and be careful, you know, while you're doing it, to not get too far into something that you can't get out of also, you know, some kind of conversation that, you know, takes you down a road that doesn't have a lot of fruit, you know, or solution to it. And so you sort of have to judge on an individual basis, and I really go by how sincere the person really is. If I sort of detect in a person that they're not really sincere, they just like to argue or something, as soon as I detect that, I feel like I'm really maybe wasting my time. And a lot of times they don't take the book anyway. You know, say, oh, would you like to take the book? No, I'm not into that either, you know. Oh, okay. So I just took half an hour, plus you don't want the book, and the net gain isn't that great sometimes. So not a distinctive answer, but you know, it has to do with balance, and really you have to sort of judge for yourself. But if you keep conscious of it and don't just fall into it and then figure it out an hour later that, you know, I just wasted an hour. Keep conscious. Yes. Microphone?
I had a clarification on, I would also see some clarification in similar lines. You know, one time I was standing outside Walmart and a person just walked out of the store. And he was really pissed off because he had been escorted out of the store because he couldn't handle him inside the store. So, and I happened to be right there in front of him, and I just, you know, tried to talk to him and give him a book, and
he started off saying, I just hate this person and that person. And at that time, I felt that maybe I could just, you know, give him an audience so that he could vent out his anger and then maybe... But it, I, when I was doing that, I felt like, is it going to be a time that I don't want to, I don't want that to happen either. But at the same time, I just couldn't get myself out of that conversation. I was thinking if you could, you know, provide some lines that I could...
How to get away from it?
Yeah, I mean, how do I... What do I say so that I don't hurt him? I didn't want to hurt him by not being attentive to him or, like, cutting short. And at the same time, I felt that, like, I was...
Sure. Well, the way I get out of a lot of conversations is, one of the most typical ones is somebody who's a fundamentalist or a fanatical in some other religion, right? And they want to tell me something about that. They have no interest in what I have to offer. And so as soon as I detect that, then let's just say as an example, maybe a Christian, just say. And they say, you know, do you accept the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? Like, this might be a preamble to what they're going to say. You might have heard this before, right? And as soon as I detect that that's the direction it's going, then I'll say, we need more people like you in the world. It's people of faith like you that are keeping the world afloat. Thank you very much. And there's something about the reversal of the direction of the whole thing. They're expecting to engage in some kind of a polemic, and then you turn it around. By the way, Usha and Ramesh just came back from Vrindavan. Hare Krishna. Welcome. Hare. We're so glad you're back. And do they have seats, or are there any more seats? There's a couple of seats. And so if you, and rather than getting combative with people who are not interested or who want to argue, if you go the other direction, sometimes that helps a lot. And one time I was standing outside in front of a Walmart, and this guy was going on and on and on, and he was kind of a friendly guy, and there was another devotee standing there. It was De Parma Karuna was there. And I pointed to my cell phone, and he went around the other side of the pillar, and he called me on my cell phone. I said, oh, I gotta go. You know? I'm really sorry, but you know, I gotta answer my phone. You know, so you find some way to cut it short. You know, that doesn't just hurt the person's feelings. Sometimes you have to be innovative. You know? Any other question? Yes.
Similar question that Venki Prabhu raised. What I feel sometimes is, unless you engage in discussion on with people like that, you will not face questions on preaching. Like, for example, people may ask, we may say, this book is about relieving stress, anxiety. And they will counterattack saying, are you free from stress, anxiety? Are you free from all the distresses that you're talking? So things like that. We will get to know what sort of thinking, or what sort of questions that people in real time will they may ask, unless we talk to them a little bit in detail, engage in conversation. So, I know that if we are going towards a direction wherein they don't want to take the book, and just for the sake of argumenting, they're talking. So at that time being occurred, but is it a good idea in general to talk to them, to know and try to convince them that their philosophy is wrong?
To convince them their philosophy is wrong usually is not something that's productive in having them buy a book. As a man convinced against his will is of the same opinion still. And you can lead a horse to water, but you can't make him drink. And you can lead a man to wisdom, but you can't make him think. And generally, if you defeat somebody, it's different from them actually taking a book. However, what you're saying, I think, is that should we talk to people and engage? And the answer is yes. Be personal with people and just be real. And if they're being real back to you, you'll feel it. And so we should be personal, real, and direct and preach the philosophy to the best that we can and present it to them the best we can. And if they are open and sincere, they'll take it. And if they're not, then they won't. And if they want to wrap us up in a long conversation, then we should cut it short, because there's no use in arguing with people. So again, it's sort of, you have to be there and, you know, talk to people and sort of get a feel for it. Just be real with people. And you do have to sometimes talk to some. Sometimes, you know, I was in New York on a rough and tumble corner with my friend Prem Kishore last year, and we were distributing books. And this woman came out of the yoga studio that's right across the street, and she stopped, and she was very adamant at first, and she was, I felt that she wasn't going to take a book, and she felt militant to me, and I was just trying to break away, actually. And then Prem Kishore came over, and he just started, I was thinking like, well, you don't know who you're talking to here because you're just going to waste your time, but he started really preaching to her and everything like that, and she was sort of like into a women's lib and stuff like that, and he goes, well, actually, you know, we're all female because the soul's really, you know, a Prakriti, you know. It's like, no, she's never, that sounds weird. She's never going to go for this. And all of a sudden, she just changed. She just changed. And he goes, it's all in this book? Well, I suppose you want a donation, right? And I was thinking, what just happened here? I don't know, you know. But he came over all enthusiastic and was just preaching all this stuff and presenting, and all of a sudden, she just changed her mind. And I was thinking, what do I know? You know, so you have to go. It's a miracle, really. You know, what we're doing out there, is it's not stereotyped. And you deal with each situation individually. Be enthusiastic. Present to the best of your ability. And sometimes Krishna helps you. And then sometimes weird things happen, like you'll find the most sincere person in the world is just ready to buy a book. And then all of a sudden a relative comes out of the store and goes, come on, Johnny, you don't want that. Let's go. Come on. Give the book back. We're going home right now. Get the money back, too. You know? Like, what? Oh, no. What can you do? You can't force them, you know. And sometimes my friend Divyanga was distributing books in a parking lot in Florida. And there was a woman, a little kid in the car. And the woman gave a donation, got the book. Then she realized what it was. And she flipped out. She rolled down the window and threw the book in the air. And it went flying up, and it landed. He said it landed on the ground, but it landed standing up like this in the parking lot. And then the woman screeched her tires and drove off. And the kid was, he was the one that had the book, you know, inside the car. And she took it away from him and threw out the window. So then the kid was, wah! You know, as they were driving in the parking lot. He watched in the car. Did a U-turn, came back, the door opened, picked up the book, gave it back to the kid. Another one was, Bhakti Philip told me this. He goes all over and distributes books at concerts and things like that.
And he was at this concert, and there was tens of thousands of people going to a stadium. And this, he showed a book to this guy, and he was inebriated, so he grabbed the book. He threw it in the air as high as he could throw it. And it went sailing up into the lights of the stadium outside. And the crowds of people, and then he saw this group of young people walking along, and they saw this book flying through the air, up in the lights like that. It just caught in the light. And they were standing there and started coming down towards him, and he saw one of them just grab the book as it fell. And then there was about five of them. They all gathered around to see what was in the book. Another one, he was at a concert, and these kids are really rowdy outside the concert, and they have this ritual where they tear up everything. So he distributed some books, and one of the books got torn up and was in pieces. So later on that evening, when they were all coming out of the concert and he was selling books, he met this one young man who saw the book that he was selling, and he said, I've been looking for this. I wonder where this came from. And Bhakti Philip said, how did you know about it? And he pulled out from his back pocket one of the pages that had been ripped from the other book. He said, I've been reading this the whole time while I was in there, and I wanted to find out where the whole book was. So he came back outside. So all kinds of miraculous things happen when we go out. You never know, you know, who you're going to meet or what they're going to say. You just have to be ready for it. And partly we have to pray, like anything, you know, for Krishna to reveal to us. One time in O'Hare Airport, there was a Tripurari, and he was our leader. He later took sannyas, and then there was Pragosh. He was a big book distributor. There was other devotees there at the time, but this undercover policeman took a book from my godbrother Pragosh, and he just grabbed it and started walking away with the book. And so Pragosh went after him, and he grabbed the book back, and they got in a struggling match. And then this is undercover policeman, Chicago police, and all of a sudden he put, with just as a reaction, just out of anger, he pulled out his gun. He was off duty, but he pulled out his gun. And then he realized what he had done. He's standing there holding a gun on this devotee. And then Trip Rari saw it, and some of the other devotees saw it, and Pragosha says, go get a policeman. So a policeman comes over, and he realized that this guy would be finished, you know, this undercover off-duty policeman pulling out his gun. So the uniformed policeman pulled aside the devotees, and they're saying, so, you know, what are we going to do about this whole thing? And, you know, can you let him off easy? And they said, listen, we'll let him go if he buys the book. The guy goes, all right, so how much is it? And he goes, $20. $20! You know? So he comes back and he gives him $20, and the guy goes off with the book. And that was, so, I mean, there's unlimited stories about book distribution. And when you go out, you never know how Christians are going to arrange one thing or another for the book to get sold or where it's going to end up. And lots of people, you know, end up with books. Chittahari, this devotee I met in Italy a few years ago, and he told me that on his birthday, some devotees came door to door at his house, and they were selling books. So then when they came, the parents didn't know what the books were, but they bought them, and it was a couple of Krishna books. So they thought, our son's birthday is in a couple of days. We'll give them to him. So they wrapped him up like a present. Like this. And then his birthday came, and they gave him the books. And he unwraps the wrap, and he looks, and he goes, what? So he said he put him in his room, and he didn't look at him for a year. And then a year later, when he was coming home from school, he started thinking, I wonder what's in him. So he started looking at the pictures in the Krishna book. And then a year after that, he started reading the text. Then a year after that, he joined the temple. And a year after that, he was out on traveling Sankirtan, going door to door, selling books. His name is Chittahari. And he became this, you know, enthusiastic Sankirtan devotee. So books go here, there, everywhere. We were there the other day, just around the corner, when we went out with the kids. Sri Priya's here? Somewhere. And we were out with the kids, and there was this one door where there's this lady who had Alzheimer's. She opened the door. It took her 5 minutes to open the door. And then the nurse was saying, no, no, she can't read. She can't read. And I was thinking, she has to have the book. So I was putting it through the door like that. And the woman with Alzheimer's, she grabbed the book. She was really strong. And she got it away from the nurse, and she kept it. And then the door closed, and I felt success. You know, he's in there suffering. Now the book's inside. It's the Bhagavad Gita. So, you know, we have to go out and expect the unexpected. Anything can happen. And we have to innovate. And we have to pray to Krishna. And, you know, you'll see miracles when you go out on book distribution. It's been happening since time immemorial, and will go on happening. It's the greatest show on earth, Sankirtan. You're changing the destiny of the soul when you meet that soul and give him an opportunity to take Krishna consciousness. How to sell a Gita on its own merits. You see, everything's here in the Bhagavad Gita that you need to present a Bhagavad Gita to somebody else. Now, when you're talking to somebody from India, it's a little bit different. Because when you show them the Bhagavad Gita, they go, I know the Gita, I have the Gita, my mom reads the Gita, my dad reads the Gita, grandfather knows the Gita. I have 20 Bhagavad Gitas, you know. So you have to use a different approach. But I'm talking about talking to people that have not seen the Bhagavad Gita, don't know about, or, you know, don't have 20 Bhagavad Gitas at home already. There's a different way of talking to Indians when you present the Bhagavad Gita, and we'll go into that at a different time. But this is how to present this book to somebody else who doesn't know the Gita. And so everything is in this book and on this book that you need to sell the Bhagavad Gita. Prabhupada said, there's sufficient merit in our books that if you simply describe them sincerely to anyone, they will buy. That's the technique, really. And if you watch a Karanath Prabhu distribute, anyone who has had the pleasure of watching him, you'll see what this means. He is so straightforward, so sincere, and his heart is so pure that when he approaches people, they just melt and they want to buy a book. And he just presents exactly what's in the book on their own merit, and they buy it. First thing that you can do to build credibility when you show the Bhagavad Gita is name dropping. So there's lots of names on this book that you can drop. So what are some of those names? Thoreau, it's right back here. Thoreau, Emerson, Gandhi. Those are the ones on the book. You can also throw in, as an aside, Einstein and Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. All these names will register with people. So if you turn the book around, it goes, oh yeah, it's a famous book. Thoreau, Emerson, Gandhi, Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., Einstein. Any of those ring a bell? You know, if they don't get it by Gandhi and Einstein, they're usually like brain dead or something. But it's right on this book. And you'd be surprised how many people don't know who Thoreau and Emerson are. But anyway, if you drop some names first to build credibility, then the next thing you can do is drop some more names. In the front of the book, there's a list of universities, like the ones I use that are most well-known. Georgetown University is right here, and University of Southern California. Most people have heard of USC. It's very famous. So, yeah, what I tell people, look, it's used in a lot of universities. They might not know what the Gita is, but I'm showing them, look, this has been translated over 500 times into English, and of all the copies, this one has become accepted academically. Look, Georgetown University, all you got to do is say the name. Georgetown University, University of Southern California. Drop the names and show them they're right here. With me so far? Next is, show them the pictures. It's a little flip book. So we go to the Changing Bodies exhibit, and we show them this picture and just show them, look, we start here, we end up here, we're just passing through. Life's a quick journey. Just by seeing the picture, a lot of people go, wow, look at that. And then this three modes of material nature, if you like, you can explain the three modes, goodness, passion, ignorance. And we sometimes look, these are like ropes, they control us. Which one affects you the most? Then, I love this picture. Let's turn the other light off too. Can you get that one right there? I say, look, a spiritually awake person treats everyone with respect because he or she sees that God's in everyone's heart. And you point to their heart. Treats everyone with respect because he or she sees God's in everyone's heart. Or you can say, you know, sees that the body's just an outward dress. It's a universal concept. Then, the first benefit you get from yoga is you become master of your own mind and senses. Show them this picture of the horses. It's really a fantastic picture. Look, see, there's seeing, smelling, hearing, tasting. These are our senses. They're like wild horses. They pull us. The reins of the mind, the drivers of the intelligence, and we're back here, the soul. Just explain the picture and say, look, if the horses are out of control, this guy's back here going, whoa, everybody slow down. But the first benefit of yoga is you'll be able to control your own mind and senses. They go, what kind of work do you do? What kind of work do you do, Padmanabh? Remodeling? This guy used to be into remodeling, too. It's a little joke, you know, but you can ask him, you know, just while you're showing him the books, what kind of work do you do? And they go, I'm a teacher. Go, this guy was a teacher. And if they don't laugh at first, you go, yeah, I'm just kidding, you know. See, look. This guy used to be blank, too. Whatever they are, that's what that guy was, too. And then look at this, karma. You know about karma, right? Just ask, you know about karma, right? Yeah, what goes around comes around. Look at this. Look at this picture. So this comes from the ancient Sanskrit language. You can show them the Sanskrit if you want. The author's unlocked all of its secrets. See, you're going through the book. You're showing the back, the front, the pictures. You're showing the Sanskrit. And then to ask him for a donation, this is a really easy way to ask for a donation. They're holding the book. You say, how much do you think? If we were selling these in stores, if we were selling these like in a store, how much do you think it would cost? Give them the microphone.
$35.
That's pretty close. See? But today, if you give a donation, you can take it with you. So, you know, let them say how much it's worth. Sometimes people go, $100? That's pretty close. And they go, but we're not. But today, if you give a donation, you can take it with you. It's a real simple way to get a donation for the book. Just ask them first. So seriously, how much? So a lot of people say, I don't know. And then you just prod them a little bit. Come on, you've bought a book before. How much do you think it would cost? And, you know, a lot of people, they hesitate and say, because they know as soon as they say an amount, that's going to lock them in something, you know. I see people hesitate, you know. Very rarely, though, do they not do it at all. So that's an easy way to do that. And sometimes you could say, we're doing this as a benefit to spread love for God. We're doing this to help people who are suffering from ignorance all over the world. We're doing this to spread peace and unity throughout the world. If you give a donation for spiritual knowledge, you get 1,000 times the benefit. I say this a lot to people. You know, I say, listen, the reason we ask for a donation is because when you give something in return for spiritual knowledge, you get 1,000 times the benefit. I'll even say, look, I don't need the money. But the reason I'm asking you is because when you give, you get benefit for giving. And people appreciate that. They know that it's spiritual knowledge. They give something in return. They get the benefit. Thank you for taking your valuable time. It's been an honor to meet you. This is how we say at the end. We teach them the Maha Mantra. We hand them the card. We have these cards and it has the Maha Mantra. Do you believe in the power of prayer? Everyone say yes.
Yes.
Let me teach you this mantra. It's from the Sanskrit language. And once you know it, you can use it at any time. It's meant to wake up love for God in your heart. Are you ready?
Yes.
Okay, follow up behind me. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Hare
Krishna
Krishna, Krishna
Krishna, Hare Hare,
Hare, Hare.
Hare Rama,
Hare Rama,
Hare Rama,
Hare Rama,
Rama Rama,
Rama Rama,
Hare Hare,
Hare Hare.
Excelente, very good. You're naturals. Your pronunciation's so nice. So give them a sincere compliment. Teach them the Ma Mantra. What else do they get? What do they get? They get a book. They get Ma Mantra. They get, what else do they get? What are we giving?
Invitation.
What else do they get?
Lifetime friendship.
What else do they get?
Kind words.
They get all that from one stop shopping. They get a book, they get prasadam, they get the Maha Mantra, they get kind words, they get invitation, and they get a lifetime friendship. All that in one meeting with a devotee. That's what it means to distribute books. All these things. And you give it as much as you can. If they want to come home today, like Bhakti Jonathan, then you bring them home. If they want to like read the book, like the homeless guy who lives in Santa Cruz, who's become an initiated devotee now because of the mercy of Akurinath. Akurinath's been down there preaching to him for years, sold him a full set of Bhagavatams, took care of him. Other people would just, he embraces him, takes care of him. He's so pure-hearted, Akurinath. He converted that person. He got off heroin and started chanting 16 rounds a day, and he still lives on the street. And he's a devotee. And that was Akurinath's mercy. He engaged him as fully as possible, made him a devotee, made him a Vaishnava. So this is real preaching. Talking to Christians. Christian, I'm a Christian. Do you know that Lord Jesus Christ is your personal Savior? Do you all know that? Me. I'm so happy to meet you. It's people of faith like you who are keeping the world afloat. Thank you very much, and have a nice day. So it's you go the opposite way. You don't need to get in an argument with this because there's no win situation for that, I guarantee you. This is hard to read, but I'll read it for you. Recipient, looking at the book you've handed him, but I'm a Christian, Vijay will say. That's great. We're not trying to change your belief, but there's always more to learn, right? You read the newspaper, right? Recipient, yes. Vijay, you're going to get much more out of this than a newspaper. So these are, books are going out everywhere. We want to increase it in all different ways. This is a book table in Alachua, Florida. This was getting ready for the Rath Yatra in Los Angeles. That's Malati. And this was the old, what was the name of it? This place was the Dana Bazaar, also known as the gold mine, where cash and tea. No, it's the Dana Bazaar. It's the Dana Bazaar. This is a picture from a few years ago with our devotees out there, so many people stopping. Think how many thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands of books have gone out just in the Bay Area, and every one of them will have their effect, guaranteed. So this is a movement. We're going to all these different places, every town, village, every place that we possibly can to make these books available to people. This is a classic picture. Look at this. Wonderful picture. What a wonderful devotee. Shalesh is out here distributing books just with such sincerity, that he presents to people in such a straightforward way. I saw how he's so much in samadhi when he goes out there. What to speak of his wife, too, who distributed till she was 9 months pregnant, and then when she came out after 2 months after having the baby, said it was the longest 2 months of her life, and glad to be back out there. And they're there regularly. And our very own Srivas Pandit. This is our illustrious book table at the Harinam. Rakshit Jariwala Prabhu Ki!
Jai!
There's a PhD out in the middle of a parking lot presenting the Bhagavad Gita as it is to a very fortunate soul. And this is Hansapriya's father distributing books. Satyadev and Hansapriya's father getting ready to distribute books, setting up a table. This is in New York, devotees chanting, and they have a book table set up. And this is Jaip Thakur Maharaj. I met him at the L.A. airport, and he bought this CD, Bhagavad Gita, from me. He said, do you have one of those CDs? I want to buy one of those. I told him his money was no good in L.A., but in any case, you never know who you're going to meet. So that's how to sell a Bhagavad Gita. Now, a few words about that. And that is that you don't have to use all of that. You can use just some of it because sometimes you just want to show a picture of karma or just changing bodies. That's all you need to show. You can show a couple of things really quick. Like, look, you've heard of Thoreau, Emerson, Gandhi, Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., show the universities, and then just show one or two pictures. And then tell them, how much do you think it would cost in a bookstore? You know, if they're in a big hurry. Or if they've already heard of Bhagavad Gita, you can abbreviate the whole thing. And it's the same thing for small books. You can just very easily show them the book a little bit. Show them what's in the book. Look at some of the pictures. It's the easiest way to distribute. Just open and say, yeah, these are spiritual books passed down for many thousands of years from the Himalayas of India. Look at this. See, look, changing one body to the next. And then just give them the book, say, look, it's a benefit. We're doing this to help people all over the world, so we just accept donations for these books. So people are giving donations in return, and they get 1,000 times the benefit. My job is to stand over here, pick out the smartest looking people, and we just take a donation. You know, you just present the book very simply, show them a couple things in the book, and then ask them for a donation. Now, is it necessary for them to give a donation to take the book? Yes? No? The answer is it depends. If they want it, if they really want it and they don't have any money, they can take it. We're trying to give out more books, right? And also, they've taken their valuable time to stop and look at the book and consider it. So that's also a form of payment also, that they took some time. So you have to make a judgment call with each person. If they're nasty or they're envious, should we give them a book? No, don't give them the book. They won't appreciate it. But if they're nice, sincere, but they don't have any money or can't give a donation, we can let them have the book and let the book go to its destination. But most people will be happy to give something in return for the book. Right, Venki? Yeah, he collected $150 just last Sunday. Was it Sunday he went out? Monday! He went out on a Monday. Haribo! Distributed how many books? 48 books to start the marathon off. So we have 48 fewer books to distribute now towards our 4,501 goal. Very good, Binky. Thank you. Any questions about this so far? Yes.
Recently, I went on a distribution, and the person was reluctant to give the donation. And I told him that you get 1,000 times the spiritual benefit if you give the donation. Then he said, I'm ready to forego the benefit, but I want the book for free.
Okay. Was he sincere?
Yes. He said, I will read the book. I said, if you read the book, I'm ready to give it for free. He said, I will read. But give it me for free, like that, he said. So
what did you do?
Yeah, I gave it for free.
Yeah, so that's okay. You know, we want to be liberal. Lord Chaitanya, sometimes he said he went to Varanasi and he brought this valuable cargo and no one was ready to pay for it, so he practically had to give it away for free, this love of God, because people didn't know what it was. They didn't know how valuable it was. So in some cases, you know, we do have to give it away for free. They get much more benefit if they engage something. So sometimes, you know, like someone will go, some students, I don't have any money. They have something else. Well, give me your pen. They'll give me a pen, you know, something like that. But that's okay. It's all right. You just make your judgment call and let the book go. Leave them a good impression. Any other question? Yes. First thing is listen to the Maha Mantra. You know, chant good rounds before you go out. And when you go out on Sankirtan, chant all the way out there. Have one of the devotees in the car read something, you know, from the Gita so you can hear. And when you get out there, wherever you're going, keep hearing Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. That's what really distributes books and how you can preach is keep the Maha Mantra going all the time. That's the main technique. So listen to that. And then listen to what people are saying sometimes, you know, and pick up who they are and what they want and what they need and be a little friendly with them. You don't have to just tell all the time. You can ask them questions, see how they are. That's what I mean by that. And just in everyday life, it's a good idea to listen. Listen more than always telling like that. Hare Krishna. Yes, question. Hare Krishna. A little closer. Yes, good idea. She wants to know, I think you're asking how to start off to show them the book in the first place, right? Okay. So the first most important idea that I present is that when people feel qualified to have a book in their hand, then they're more likely to take it in their hand. So I ask a qualifying question to people, like, do you live in Santa Cruz? Do you live in Santa Cruz?
No.
You don't? Great, then I'll show you one too. And so, do you live in Santa Cruz? Yes, you do. Oh, great, I'll show you one too. Whatever question I ask them, you know, I wait for the answer, and whatever they say, I say, oh, really? Good, I'll show you one too then. It gives me an opportunity to qualify them. They feel like I'm giving it to them for a reason. And then normally when I present the Bhagavad Gita, I'll tell them something very quickly. First of all, I do like to shake hands with people. Now, it sort of depends on who you are and which kind of person you're talking to, but shaking hands or being friendly with people a little bit ahead of time is helpful for me. In America, California, you can shake like this. And or you can shake like this, or you can shake like this. It depends on the person. And so, but there's some kind of personal connection with people. And then like, oh, do you live here? Really? Okay, I'll show you one too. Or, you know, if you see something about them, like on their shirt or their hat or something, like sometimes some, you know, it'll say Nature Boy on the hat or something like that. And you just notice, oh, nature, you're into nature. And or are you into nature? Oh, yes, I am. Great. I'll show you one, too. Something to qualify them first. Now, I'll tell them people that it's a book on yoga and meditation. It shows you how to relieve stress. This is a very kind of a generic presentation. The book on yoga and meditation shows you how to relieve stress. And then I ask them a question. You've heard of stress before, right? If you heard of stress, you've heard of stress before, right? What's your answer?
Yes.
Really? Because you don't look very stressed to me. You look very peaceful. It's your eyes. You look like you have some spiritual practice already. This is what I'm telling you what I tell them before I present the Bhagavad Gita. This is how I present. I'll say, you've heard of stress before, right? And they'll say, no, like, you know, I'm not stressed. You've heard of stress before, right? I know, I can tell. It's your eyes. They look very peaceful. Like, you know, I agree with them, whatever it is. Or if they say, yes, I've heard of stress, I feel very stressed, I say, really, because you don't look that stressed. It's your eyes. Your eyes look very spiritual to me. And when I'm looking in their eyes, I'm actually seeing the soul. Because I'm thinking, look, it's just a lens, and what's the consciousness looking back at me right now? And I'm actually feeling that, experiencing when I'm talking to somebody. So then I'll say, well, great, here, I'll show you this too. I use these words. Here, I'll show you this too. I show you this. And I show them the Bhagavad Gita. I put it in their hand like this. Here, let me show you one too. You probably heard of this. Then I take it right back and I say, look at this. Thoreau, Emerson, Gandhi, dropping names, right? Einstein, Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. You know, one of those is going to register somewhere. They say, yeah, out of 500 different translations of the Bhagavad Gita, this one has become the most popular and widely accepted academically. Look at this. USC, you've heard of Georgetown University, right? Here, I'll show you in a nutshell. I'll show you really quick the philosophy because I know you're in a hurry. Look at this. See, look. We start here, right? We end up here. We're really just passing through, right? Yeah, right? You've heard of karma before, right? Have you? Yeah. What goes around comes around, see? Right? What kind of work do you do?
I'm a technician.
Technician. What kind of technician?
Ophthalmic technician.
Ophthalmic tech? This guy was an ophthalmic technician. You know, you go into a little of the philosophy, and then you can show them the horses. So look, our senses are like horses. They're so powerful. They're pulling us in different directions. We're back here with a passenger. But the first benefit of yoga that you'll get from this book, you'll be able to control your senses, so you can go any direction you want to go. And then, look, this is the ancient Sanskrit language. Can you read that? Just testing. And then it's translated into English. How much do you think that would be if it was in a bookstore? Like, if we were selling this, how much do you think it would cost?
$20.
That's pretty close. But we're not selling it. Today we have thousands of volunteers out all over the Bay Area, and we're doing this to spread spiritual knowledge because it's the only thing lacking in the world. So if you give a donation, you can keep it. And the only reason we ask is because when you give something in return for spiritual knowledge, you get 1,000 times the benefit. The general way, you know, so if I'm meeting somebody on the street, like I'd notice Jonathan, and I'd say, oh, we saw the beads. We saw the neck beads. Really nice. Now you're talking my language. You know, make a connection. They say, do you live in Santa Cruz? You don't? Great. Let me show you one too then. Here. Okay. And then here. I'll show you really quick. You know, and then you go through it. So look, you've heard of this. Thoreau, Emerson, Gandhi. You're off to the races. And you just show them. Show them a few things about the book. You can go through it. Show. And it works with any book. You pick up a book yourself and look at it carefully. Look what's in it. Look what are the points that you think are important on the book. Like the Shriya Upanishad or any book. And you can just present the book and just show them the book. And then tell them, look, we're doing this as a benefit to spread spiritual knowledge. It's the only thing lacking in the world. So we take in donations to help out. Now, a lot of times when I'm dealing with a more Indian crowd, like outside an Indian store or something like that, and their reaction's going to be like, oh, I already know everything. I know this. I know that. I know whatever else you got in your bag, too. You know? So don't even try it. You know, so like one night we went with Divyanga, who came to visit us. Some of you remember him. And when he went out in front of the Indian store and he'd show the Bhagavad Gita, he was, you know, fresh and new outside the Indian store. And they'd say, oh, you know, we know Bhagavad Gita. He goes, it's not for you. This is, you give this to someone else. It's your duty to pass this on to other people. It's like, it's not yours. It's for you. Somebody, you give to somebody else. You know, he'll present like that. Or a lot of times when I'm presenting, I'll just tell them ahead of time that we're doing a fundraiser. We're collecting money out here today. And we're using it to spread spiritual knowledge. And then you tell them that part first before I even get into the book, before their mind rejects it because I know everything. I know the Gita, I know this, I know that, you know. Many of you are already very expert at working outside Indian stores. We know this. And then outside of like Walmart and things like that, you meet all kinds of different people. And if you learn a little bit about the cultures of other kinds of people, then you can make an instant connection with them. Like if you know a couple words in Spanish, you know, you just say that to people and tell them a simple Spanish line. And Jonathan's working on this now to make sure that everybody knows how to present in different languages. He's the new director of FLAIR, which stands for Foreign Language Advancement and Rendering Enterprise. So a couple words in any language will open the door to people's heart, and you can show them the book. Now, of course, just in closing, I'm going to say that we have an unprecedented goal this time, and that is to mobilize 141 devotees on book distribution for Bhaktivinoda Thakur's Disappearance Day celebration. That means everyone everywhere, and then some, and then inviting your friends. We've been calling other people, asking them to think about who else can join our party. I got Partasarthi Prabhu in Iraq to agree to go on book distribution during our festival, and he's going to be part of our ISV party. So we'll have a book distributor in Iraq. He said he'll go out on those days and distribute to the population there. And Manmohini, who lives in Coarse Gold, which is about 4 hours' drive down here, she's going to get a party together and be part of our... So reach out and see who you can talk to bring on book distribution. If you've not been on book distribution before or have a long time ago, this is a good time to come out and volunteer. Who can go out on book distribution this time? Who can go out? What is the qualification for somebody to go out? Huh? You can fog a mirror. Oh, if you live in San Jose, okay. If you put a mirror in front of your nose and you breathe and it fogs up, that means you're alive. You can go out. You can go out and join a party. You can join a party. It's easy. We have the books. We have the spots. We have leaders who you can go out with. Is there any expectation on anybody when you go out that you have to perform? There's no expectation. You can go out and just watch if you want and distribute very little or as much as you like. It's up to you. There's no pressure. You can pass out cookies. You can just assist. You can just observe. Whatever you want, but go out. Feel what it's like to be out there, to, you know, be out on the front line, even if you're just watching. And everyone's invited. You can talk to Praveena. She has a list that she's growing, and listing everybody. So those of you who are not regulars and would like to join the monthly Sankirtan Festival, which is on the 20th, 21st, 22nd. By the way, we're also having double Harinam this time. Normally we have one Harinam. We're going to have Harinam on both Fridays for the pleasure of Bhaktivinoda Thakur. So that's the 20th is Friday. And then 21st, 22nd is book distribution. And then the next time is 27th is the next Friday. We'll have Harinam. And then 28th, 29th, book distribution. Everyone that would like to come out will make a spot available to you. And devotees are ready to go at any time starting now. So we're already ready, mobilized. We have books. We have sets of Bhagavad Gitas. And also, of course, as Rakshit Prabhu will explain later, there's three ways everyone can participate. Either go out and book distribution yourself, which we're asking everyone to seriously consider and do this time. Or you can donate money to help the distribution. Or you can do backup services, helping with cooking. Or you can do all three. Okay. There's more to say. There are other presentations. But I've given you just sort of an outline of some of the things. Book distribution is our life and soul here because we're doing it on the order of Srila Prabhupada. We're organized so that everyone can do it. We're inviting everyone to please come out for book distribution and also bring your friends for this monthly Sankirtan festival for Bhaktivinoda Thakur. Any last comment or question? Yes. Yes. Can parents or grandparents go on book distribution? Is Ashutosh is here? Where is he here? Can parents or grandparents go on book distribution? Sure. Sure. Do you have a personal experience of that? Didn't your parents come out? Last year for Bhaktivinoda Thakur's Disappearance Day, his parents came out on book distribution. Let's give him a hand for that. They're not here now, though, right? Can we get them back over here? We may need them. So, yes, they can do there. Can you get them to go out there? Okay, please call them. If they go out on book distribution, yeah, we can count it. So parents can go, grandparents could go. Can children go? Yes, children can go. What's the minimum age? One day, 1 hour. Gita Priya proved that. She distributed 3 Bhagavad Gitas, one to the 2 nurses and the doctor the day she was born. So a one-day-old baby can go out. What about, you know, young people, 20 years old, 25 years old, can they go out? Definitely. Good place to be when you're that age, beyond on Sankirtan. So everybody can go out on book distribution. Did we count Yogi last time?
Yeah.
We counted Yogi. Well, if we get him a backpack this time, a little book bag, we can count him again. Okay. Yes, Rakshit Prabhu.
Several more Srimad Bhagavatam sets have been ordered.
Okay.
Just for this Bhaktivinod Thakur monthly Sankirtan festival.
Several means 20 or so?
We have right now about 12.
Okay, so we have 12 sets of Bhagavatams available. I just sold one last night that I just took away from this pile. But these sets are Hare Krishna. It came out of nowhere. He just called me up and said, I want a set of Bhagavatams. I said, we'll count it. So these sets are available for how much? 100 and?
25.
No, that's ridiculous. We're giving them away for 125? Are we crazy or what? Okay, so 125 for a full set of Srimad Bhagavatams. And this is a part of the practice of being a devotee, is to have a full set of Bhagavatams in your house. So if you don't have Bhagavatams, get a set. If you do have, get one for somebody else. It's a good wedding gift you can give away. Take 3 or 4 sets and just keep them and give them away for birthdays, weddings, bar mitzvahs, whatever you're going to. Okay? All right. Any last things? Yes. Tanya.
How do you motivate people, you know, if they ask you, how are you going to spend my money? How are you going to spend my donation? So what do you tell them?
I tell them that we're going to use it to spread spiritual knowledge and you'll get great spiritual benefit from that.
To print more books?
With the money they give. Yeah, we print books and spread spiritual knowledge. And that's our cue that it's over. Okay. So more questions we'll take later. We're going to have more sessions like this. So you can bring your friends. We'll have other training sessions coming up to the Sankirtan Festival with other details. And find other devotees who would like to come on Sankirtan, and we'll get them oriented towards how to distribute books. And we'll all go out together for Bhaktivinod Thakur. Srila Prabhupada ki.
Jai.
Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur Monthly Sankirtan Festival Ki!
Jai!
Gaur Bhaktivrinda Ki!
Jai!
Gopremanande!
Jai!